that committed the murder, and he would have to drag that body around until it rotted off his wrist. You and I are going to deal with the flesh until the day we die and get a glorified body when Jesus glorified. We're going to deal with that dirty, rotten flesh. And Amalek is depictive of the flesh. And what happened? He told him to wipe everything out. Wipe out the flesh. That's something that you and I cannot do, but we can. Hey, it says, the Lord said, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have to crucify. Paul said, I die daily. John said that, I believe. I die daily to myself. Some people, it's all about self. That's the way it was with Saul. And he did not wipe out Amalek. He kept the most desirable parts and the animals, the most desirable booty, the rams and the sheep and the oxen. And he tried to blame it on the people. Samuel said to him, did you take care of business? Saul said, we took care of business. So then Samuel said, what meaneth this bleating of the sheep and the sounds that the oxen are making? He said, oh, those are the ones we kept for sacrifice. You know what they would do with that? Eat too. And your flesh wants to eat this world and have everything that this world has to offer. It reaches for everything wrong, but the spirit reaches for everything right. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. They are contrary one to another. They fight till the day that we receive a perfect body. Now Saul sought by prophets. He sought by dreams. And he tried to find the will of God by Urim and Thummim, which had the high priest had the stones. And there was no answer. The Philistines were at war with Israel. They were coming upon Israel, and Saul got very much afraid because Samuel was dead now. I've been thinking about preaching a message sometime like after the preacher dies, when you're looking for a preacher and you can't find one. I've been thinking about preaching a message sometime when daddy dies. What's going to happen when daddy dies? I mean, you gotta quit. You gotta make it on your own. You gotta make decisions on your own. But anyway, when the preacher dies, and with Samuel, he was Saul's right hand prophet, and now he's dead. And he died. Saul didn't get an answer. He tried every way he can because Samuel had already approached Saul before he died. And he told Saul, you've lost the kingdom. You're losing your position. And one of your neighbors is going to be the new king. And it was David. And Samuel anointed David to be king while Saul was still living. And Saul got very jealous, especially when David killed Goliath. Because the ladies and the servants came out and danced in the streets. And they sung a song. And they said, Saul has killed his thousands, and David has killed his 10,000s. And Saul got very jealous, very jealous. And from that moment on, he tried several times to kill David, but was unsuccessful. And now, he's still the king because David hadn't been instituted yet, and David was fearing for his life, and you know the story there. And Saul was approaching the Philistines, which is an enemies to Israel. And he's very afraid because he don't know the will of God. Because in previous encounters, he would have been able to say, God would say, they would ask, should we go up against them or should we not? And God would say, go up against them. You've got the victory. But now there's no response. He don't know what to do. He's a coward. He's jealous. He's a coward. He wants everything for himself. He wants the best. He got rid of everything in the flesh, but just a few things that he gloried in and he depended on. And you see, that's what the flesh does. The flesh gets rid of everything. I don't drink or smoke or dance or run with those that do. But what do you do that you love and lust after? The Bible says in Hebrews, it says that we should lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The only way that we can make it is looking to Jesus and denying our flesh and forgetting who we are and don't want the prominence, do not want the recognition, do not want the advancements, but just say, hey, listen, we saw a young lady the other day, Kathy and I did, she had a shirt on, you know what it said? I'm just a girl. And I said, young lady, I want to compliment you. You're not just a girl. God made you. You're a woman. You're a girl. And I thank God for a young lady to say, I'm a girl. I'm not a boy, or I'm not half, or whatever. Praise the Lord. So Samuel's in trouble. A while before this, he had had all the all the wizards and the witches and the word menchromer or menchromize or whatever, all those guys that deal with the underworld and deal with witchcraft, he had them all killed. But there was one woman, one witch. He told his servants, go find me. Here's what he said in verse 7. Then said Saul and his servants, seek a woman that hath a familiar spirit. Now that's what we're going to talk about for a minute. The danger of losing the light and getting advice from the darkness. Through the darkness. Trying to get direction through the dark. That's a dangerous thing. You know, the back alleys is where a lot of criminality takes places. And the dark is when the sin really comes out. Most murders, most thefts, most rapes, most this and that. But now it's even getting in the daytime, to be honest with you. The whole world lies in wickedness. But he had them all killed. And he said, I can't get no direction from God, so I'm going to get some direction from the world. And I'm going to tell you what, my friend, you and I have made a big mistake if we try to get direction from this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of life, and the pride of life is of the world, and the world passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Walk in the light, children of light. Walk in the light of God. Service, they found that woman. She's called the Witch of Endor. A great poet. Kipling wrote a whole poem about the witch that lived in Endor, not far from where Saul lived. She had survived that escapade when he had them all killed, and somebody knew where she was, and somebody told the servants, and the servants told Saul, and now he's approaching. He disguises himself. He puts his robes of royalty, takes them off, and he takes off his crown, and he puts on common clothes. And in the secrecy of the night, you see, he goes at night. And my friends, he don't go in the day. Why? He's ashamed. He don't want to be seen going to the witch's house in the daytime. So he goes at night, cover of the night. But I'm going to tell you what, there is no cover from God. There is no cover. He sees everywhere the good and the evil. So he goes in. He disguised himself. He went into her. She said, you know, Saul has said he's going to kill all the witches. And he said, you know, I'm a little bit concerned. And he said, I promise you. She didn't know his Saul. She didn't know it was Saul. She thought it was just somebody needing her fortune told or whatever. And he disguised himself, and she said, well, he said, I guarantee you, you will not be hurt. You'll be protected if you'll just bring somebody up for me. Now, let me tell you about various theological interpretations of this event. People far more smarter than me will ever be. They disagree with what I'm going to interpret, how I'm going to interpret this. They say that she was a ventriloquist. They say part of it was phony and maybe part of it real. I believe all of it was real. I've read Matthew Henry, who's a devout man that's wrote a commentary on the entire Bible. I read J. Vernon McGee, who sort of made fun of it. That's their business. They're both dead. That's their business. But I'm going to tell you what. I have experienced some things that I won't even talk about to tell you before God now that just as much as God is real, the devil's real. And just as much as there's good angels, there's bad angels. And just as much as there's a Jesus Christ, the devil's got his Antichrist, and he's got his people walking around as ministers of light. They're the devil's crowd. But just as much as God is all-powerful and knows everything and is present everywhere, the devil tries to repeat omniscience, omnipotent, and omnipresence. He tries to repeat the qualities of God, which only God can possess. And my friends, I personally know that this scripture cannot be looked on lightly, and it cannot be put off as some kind of fantasy, because I believe the literal reading of the Word of God. I don't read into something that I don't like the reading and try to read it again and play with the words. I go from word to word to word in the context. Here it is. He disguised himself. He went into the witch of Endor. And Saul disguised himself. Verse 8, put on his raiment. He went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done. See, she didn't know it was Saul. How he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? Saul swear to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. He didn't say, bring me up a demon that looks like Samuel, and that's popular theological interpretation. He said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, it didn't say when he saw a phantom of Samuel. It didn't say that he saw a demon that looked like Samuel. The Bible says, when she saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, what hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. She realized who he was, and the king said to her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods descending out of the earth. Now, my friends, that's demons. And he said unto her, it's a little g, and he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, she had not yet Samuel. And she said, an old man cometh up, he's covered with a mantle. Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. Now, what I'm going to read a little bit more in just a minute, but I'm going to prep you by saying something. The devil does not know the future. The devil does not know the future unless God lets him in on what's happened. He does not know the future unless God lets him. If he'll read the Bible, and he knows the Bible better than most preachers do, his doom's sealed. Samuel said unto Saul, why? He said to Saul, she saw Saul. He spoke to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Samuel answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. But he left off Urim and Thurim. God's not answered me. Therefore, I have called thee that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. I need to know the will of God. He's seeking a mediator from, instead of going directly to the source of godliness, he's going through a worldly interruption and interrupter to determine the will of God. Then said Samuel, wherefore dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy? There's a lot of other theological opinions on whether Saul was saved or lost. Could you get to the point in your flesh that God would become your enemy? I mean, let me ask you this. If you got a wayward child somewhere, in a sense, as they break your heart, they're not an enemy, but they're worse than an enemy. They could be worse than them. I just talked to a man this week. I might hopefully get him to come to church sometime. His name's Adam. He said, my wife is a prodigal. I said, you got any kids? She's in North Carolina. He's here. She said, she aborted my child. Oh, my. Can you imagine that? Lord help. Anyway, and said Samuel, why do you ask me? The Lord's departed. He's become an enemy, and the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even David, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord. Now let me tell you something. You can get yourself in trouble by not obeying the voice of God. You can get yourself in such a predicament, my friends, that you won't hear from God. You can try everything you want to try, and you'll never hear the voice of God. That applies to a lost person or a saved person. It can happen either way. A person can get to the point of sinning against God as a lost person that God will never speak to him again. You can get to the point as a believer following the flesh and living after the flesh, and God's tried and tried and tried to help you and give you light, and you chose darkness, and then you can forget hearing from God again. I'm not saying nothing bad or good about Mother Teresa, but you understand, my friends, that I read some of her journals, and she said for many years, and probably up to the time she died, and I'm not discrediting her, but she never felt the presence of God again. The woman that's done more for the cause of poverty and helping people than any person that I've ever known of. Said I never, and I'm not condemning her. I'm just saying that's her words. I read her words. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executed his fierce wrath upon who? Amalek. Amalek's the flesh. He's God saying to the believer today, he said, because you have not exercised wrath upon your flesh, I can't deal with you anymore. I'm through speaking to you. You can make it on your own. You think God would do that one of his children? Oh, my. Therefore hath the Lord done this to thee this day, and moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee under the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. Three sons, I believe. Tomorrow, you're dead. Now let me ask you this. Does the devil know when you're going to die? He can help you die. He'll go right along with you, lost friend, today, wherever you may be, and lead you straight into hell, thinking you're all right. And he can also work with your conscience and against your conscience as a believer to let you run in the flesh and live in the flesh and justify yourself while you're doing it. The devil can do that, but he does not know the future. He does not know unless God tells him. And thy sons, be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hands of Philistines. He said, you're going to lose, and it's going to be just like I told you, the kingdom's rent. It's given to David, and you're not going to be the king anymore, and you're going to die tomorrow. Your sons are going to die with you. Then Saul fell straightway all alone on the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. He was a big, tall man. They picked Saul to be king because he was taller than everybody else. I'll tell you, one of the shortest men in the Bible, my friends, was Paul. He wasn't good to look at. He was humped over, had eye problems, and he was taller than Saul ever thought about being tall. Nothing against you tall guys. One of these days, me and you may be hiding out, trying to find a hole in the ground to hide. Y'all too big to get in. I might have a problem getting in a rabbit hole. Because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day. The woman came and saw that he was sore troubled, said unto him, "Behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed the voice." I started to preach on supper with a witch. Do you want to eat supper with a witch? Do you want to eat toads and bat wings, stuff like that? I just wondered. She had a good meal here. You know what? I've ate at a witch's house many times. Bless her heart, but my dear friend Bertha in Tuglacalula was an avowed witch. You met her, Terry, and you did too, Dave and Philip. I think y'all met her. I'm not sure. I know Terry did. I didn't know that she is a witch, but she was. I didn't know. She loved my children, loved my wife. She loved you, Kathy. She'd come out and grab them babies, and I love her, but she's in hell. She never left Catholicism, and she never left witchcraft. What a pattern. And they said, "I put my life in my hand and have hearkened unto thy words which thou spakest unto me." You know what? She might have had an ulterior motive. She might have said, "If he's going to lay here all night and moan and groan and die here, they're going to look for the king. They found him at my house. I'm dead too. I got to get him some strength, get him out of here. Now, therefore, I pray thee, hearken also to the voice of thine handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread for thee to eat, and thou mayest have strength, and when thou goest on thy way." But he refused, said, "I will not eat." And the servants together with the woman compelled him, and he hearkened their voice. She arose from the earth and sat, he arose upon from the earth and sat upon the bed, and the woman had a fat calf. Them fat calves. If I was back then a calf, I wouldn't get fat. I'd stay skinny. The fat calf in the house. Who wants to keep a calf in the house? But, you know, it was in the area. It was probably on the back porch. She hasted and killed it and took flour and kneaded it. Did bake unleavened bread. Unleavened bread. Look here. You know what? Unleavened bread? No leaven. Leaven's a sign of evil. You say, "Well, she had something good about it." Well, it's the best way to put it. She had unleavened bread. You know what? Up here in Fort Payne, it's a mom and a wife. If you're going up Galt on the left, they're palm readers. On the left, you'll see it, right close to the auto zone. And I was there looking at a van one day. I met the woman and her mama, and I talked to them. And they're both witches. And they're both members of a Church of God of Sin. Any comment? And she brought it before Saul, the boy's servants, and they did eat, then arose up in his way. They lost the battle. You can see the end of this on the death of Saul in chapter 31. Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. Do you understand it's a terrible thing when the people of God flee? The people that need God. We don't have any strength to approach a lost person living in the flesh. We've got to be dead to the flesh to tell somebody about Jesus. We'd run from them. Stay away from them. Can you imagine that? We need to be talking to people. And the more you can put the flesh down, the more easier it's going to be for you to talk to somebody about Jesus. God's own people was running from the enemy, and the Philistines fought hard upon them. And upon his sons, the Philistines slew Jonathan, Abinadab, Melchah, Shua. Saul's sons, the battle went sore against Saul, and archers hit him. His sons were dead. I wonder if he saw his sons die. In the back. They probably stayed close to their daddy. All three of them's dead. Now Saul's got an arrow stuck in him. And the battle went sore against Saul. The archers hit him. He was sore wounded with the archers. Then said Saul and his servant bear, "Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest they're uncircumcised. These uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was so afraid. Therefore, Saul took his sword and fell upon it. When the armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. That's one thing I would not have done. Would you? Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearers, and all his men that day together. Everybody died. You know what? When you live in the flesh, when you give your way to the flesh, when you lust after the flesh, when you pamper the flesh, when you keep back some things that you desire and put away the rest, that's not good enough. But when you do, you're not only going to hurt yourself, you're going to hurt everybody around you. Died. When the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley and they that were on the other side of Jordan saw that the men of Israel fled and that Saul, his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in. They took the peoples of God's property. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You let a church start living in the flesh, and you can expect it, you can expect it to happen. The world will take your church over. The world will take your church if you live in the flesh. I give a warning to Welcome Baptist Church that you come in here filled with the Spirit of God. You come in here denying the flesh, not wanting the limelight. You say, well, you're in the limelight. Okay, you want to trade? I'll trade with you after I finish this message, and you get up and preach your message. And I'm not going to let you interrupt this one. It came to pass on the morrow when the Philistines came to strip the slain that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head, stripped him of it, off his armor, and sent him into the land of the Philistines round about. They sent his body, or his head, round about to publish it in the house of their idols among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth. Ashtaroth was representative of the female fertility and the most wicked sins of the flesh it can ever be. And they put Saul there and displayed him. And they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. When the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, the valiant men arose and went all night. Here's some good men. And they took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and burned them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. The most dishonorable burial and disposable of any human corpse is burning them. We're made in God's image. I got some funeral directors that are preachers that disagree with me on that, but that's all that. It's a most heinous way and disrespectful to the image of God. You understand? Friends, if you see a body burnt in the Bible, it was a dishonorable way of disposing of the corpse. It was not a burial. And the most creepy feeling that I could ever get is if I have to do a funeral or be at a funeral with ashes. Let me tell you, Saul chose the flesh. He chose to walk in darkness. He chose to just listen to the preacher Samuel just a little bit. And just a little bit he did. He said, I'll take that. Be like a Christian today. Well, I'll take that from a preacher, but I ain't taking that. I'll take this, but I won't take that. If it's the word of God, you better take it. God's trying to give you some life. Is it worth it? I'm going to give you three K's. K, K, K. He lost his kingdom, his position. He lost his position. Wouldn't it be so? The Chinese and Orientals have such a degree of honor. If they lose a position, they'll go out and commit suicide. There's a man up here jumped off Lookout Mountain. He was a banker in Fort Payne several years ago. He lost his position and he jumped off. He lost his position. Is it worth it? to live in the flesh and lose your position God has brought you to be. No. He lost his kids. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to play around with sin and pamper the flesh and see you lose your kids? They were dead. They were dead. Three sons, one day. I'm going to misspell this other K. He lost his connection with God. Oh, I don't want to do that. You know, there's times when Roger Butler has to seek God hard and with tears, with crying, say, Lord, speak to me. Standing up here right now. All weeks I studied. Not all the time, but I studied. And said, I can't get it all together. You're going to have to help me. Can't do it. I'm unworthy. I've got to do all my time. Just don't feel qualified to be a preacher. Flesh. Flesh. Do you want to lose your kingdom? God's given you the kingdom. Let's think about your property, your house, your home, your lives. Everything you've lived for physically, lose that position. Do you want to spend the rest of your life? When people say, that's him, that's him, that's what he done, that's him. Remember what he done? People, a lot of times, never remember anything good you've done, but if you do one thing wrong, they're going to hold you to that for the rest of your life. You're going to lose your family, your kids. The most dearest thing to do. I can't understand it, but Samuel had some bad kids. Eli had some bad kids. They committed fornication on the temple porch, on the steps. And then he lost his connection. He got out of the line. Listen. Where are you? Please. It's not worth it. It's not worth it, my friend, to walk in darkness. It's just not. We bow our heads. We have a time of invitation. Piano will be playing shortly. You don't have to wait on the piano. Come, die to self today. Come and die. Come and die to self. Come and say no to the flesh. Serve God, walk in the light. Have your way, Lord, in every heart and life. Save those that may be unsaved. Save them. Save those that are walking in, as your believers in the darkness. Bring them in, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Come on.